This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
In the news this month, studying the centre of the Milky Way, the latest results from Cassini, and water detected in the early universe. A 16-year study of the centre of the Milky Way has mapped the orbits of almost 30 stars around the supermassive black hole known as Sagittarius A star. Led by Reinhard Genzel at the Max Planck Institute for Extraterrestrial Physics in Germany, the team have used state-of-the-art telescopes and instruments run by ESO in Chile to carefully observe more than 100 stars in the central few arcseconds of the galactic centre. Because of the large amount of dusty material between the Earth and the galactic centre, optical telescopes are not useful for accurately imaging the stars around Sagittarius A star. However, observations in the near-infrared part of the spectrum can penetrate through the dust and provide images of this tumultuous region. By using sensitive adaptive optic systems to remove the blurring effects caused by the Earth's atmosphere, the astronomers have been able to make highly accurate measurements of the positions of 28 of the closest stars to the black hole. Over the 16 years of the study, they have even seen one star, known as S2, complete a full orbit of the black hole. By precisely calculating the orbits of these stars, the astronomers have been able to refine the mass of the black hole and our distance from it, but the observations had to be incredibly accurate. The positions of the stars have been measured with the precision of 300 microarcseconds, equivalent to seeing a 1 euro coin at a distance of roughly 10,000 kilometres. The results of the study, published in the Astrophysical Journal during December, show that the mass of the black hole is 4.31 million solar masses, and our distance from it is 8.33 kiloparsecs, or 27,000 light-years. Although there is very strong evidence that a supermassive black hole lies at the centre of the Milky Way, there are still many open questions about the nature of the surrounding region, which will require next-generation instrumentation to solve. One such question is how some of the young stars seen in the galactic centre came to be there, since they are too young to have moved far from their birthplace, but the tidal forces due to the black hole are thought to inhibit star formation. Astronomers hope that new techniques with even greater accuracy will be able to test theoretical models of the region and hopefully provide some answers. Cassini's latest flyby of Saturn's moon Enceladus has showed evidence of ongoing changes over time in the surface near the South Pole. Previous observations showed jets of water vapour and icy particles apparently coming from long cracks in the moon's surface. The latest data on the plumes show that the vapour cloud varies over time, supplying the ring system with fresh material and pushing ionised gas into Saturn's magnetosphere. This new information comes from a flyby of the moon on the 9th of October, which took Cassini deep into the plume, passing just 25 kilometres above the icy surface. Two other flybys of the moon targeted the South Pole region on August 11th and October 31st, 2008, taking very high-resolution images of specific regions of the distinctive tiger-stripe fractures where the vents are located. The Cassini imaging team, led by Caroline Porco of the Space Science Institute in Colorado, presented the results from the three latest flybys at a meeting of the American Geophysical Union in San Francisco during December. The images show that the surface of Enceladus displays an Earth-like spreading of the icy crust, creating rifts and mountains in a similar way to the plate tectonics observed here on Earth. One big difference, however, is that the drift is almost all in one direction, more like a conveyor belt than the bidirectional drift usually observed in places like the Mid-Atlantic Plate boundary on Earth, where asymmetric spreading is rare and not well understood, according to Cassini imaging associate Paul Helfenstein. The images have also added evidence to the theory that condensation from the vapour jets may create ice plugs which build up and eventually close off a vent, forcing a new vent to open at a different point on the fracture. At the same meeting, results from recent flybys of Titan were also presented. The latest data provide further evidence that Saturn's largest moon contains active cryovolcanoes, erupting volatile materials such as water, ammonia and methane, rather than molten rock. The evidence comes from changes in the appearance of the moon's surface in images taken on different flybys in regions where data from the craft's radar instruments suggests signs of volcanic activity. It is not yet certain that volcanism is the cause of the surface changes. Other theories have not been discounted completely, and the scientists are still analysing data from the most recent flybys during December. Observations made using the 100-metre diameter Effelsberg telescope in Germany have detected the presence of water vapour in a galaxy at a record distance from the Earth. The study used an effect known as gravitational lensing to search for radio emission in the quasar known as MGJ0414+0534, located at a redshift of 2.64, a light travel time of 11.1 billion years. The previous distance record for the detection of water was at a redshift of 0.66, corresponding to a light travel time of just 6 billion years. The astronomers were looking for water masers, radiation beamed and amplified in a similar way to light in a laser, but at microwave wavelengths instead. Masers occur naturally in regions of dense gas, in areas of high star formation, or around supermassive black holes in active galaxies, as highly energetic megamasers. The water maser found in JO414 has a luminosity equivalent to 10,000 times the luminosity of the Sun, making it more powerful than most water masers seen in nearby galaxies. But, without the effect of gravitational lensing, an observation of 580 days would have been required to detect it, rather than the 14 hours that were used. In looking for distant signs of water, the group selected a distant quasar, where a foreground galaxy was along the same line of sight, acting like a magnifying glass, allowing sensitive observations out to much greater distances than is normally possible. The presence of a water maser in the first gravitationally lensed object observed by the group implies that water may have been much more abundant in the early universe than was first thought, as pointed out by John McKean, a co-author of the Discovery paper, published in Nature during December. And finally, a team from the University of Queensland in Brisbane, Australia, have suggested a new theory to explain the loss of the ill-fated Mars probe Beagle 2. The probe was designed to search for signs of life on the red planet, but vanished on Christmas Day 2003. The researchers carried out a simulation which suggests that a misjudgment of the Martian atmosphere could have caused the probe to lose control as it descended towards its landing site. As it detached from the Mars Express orbiter, the craft on which Beagle 2 hitched a ride to Mars, it was made to spin in order to stabilise its descent towards the surface. However, because the properties of the atmosphere change with height, the ideal spin rate was difficult to calculate. Conditions in the thin upper atmosphere are different to the denser regions near the planet's surface, and the Beagle 2 team estimated the likely forces in the transitional zone between the two better understood regions. What the new simulations suggest is that the spin rate could have been set too high, causing the spacecraft to destabilise and burn up before reaching the ground. The debate is far from over, however, with several other theories still to be discounted, including parachute failure, loss of radio communications, or higher than expected levels of atmospheric dust.